Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for each one that's here tonight. Lord, I believe that you have brought these here tonight, Lord, that they might be equipped, that they might be prepared. And Father, I just pray that our hearts would be open and receptive to you. I ask you, Father, for your help, Lord, that the words that I speak will not just be my own, but they'll be spirit and life. Lord, that they will have a lasting, eternal impact in Jesus' name. And Lord, we give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we are about to begin a new year. Are you ready? Prayer prepares. We know that James 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. Prayer prepares us to receive from God. Very, very important. There is a religious mindset and attitude and even doctrine, I consider it a doctrine of devils, that says that you don't need to pray because God's just going to do whatever he wants to do regardless. But that's not what the Bible teaches us. Even the Lord Jesus said, ask and you will receive. We are supposed to pray. Praying prepares us to receive from God. You know, something very important happens in the asking. And we know that he knows what we need before we even ask. And yet, it's so important that we ask, because when we are sincere in coming in prayer to God, it brings us to a place of trust and humility before him. Certainly, people can pray as merely a ritual, and people can pray prideful prayers before others, and people can pray faithless prayers. But when we ask God in sincere prayer and we pray in faith, it prepares our heart to receive from God, because it brings us to a place of humility where when God answers our prayer, he gets the glory. Let me tell you, if God just did what we wanted without us ever having to ask, you know, most of the time we would think that, hey, we're just that smart, or we're just lucky. Things just go my way. And I'm telling you, it's so important that we come to that place where we pray and we ask God, that we don't take things for granted. In fact, we all know this. There are many, many, many things that God does for us every day. There are many things that in his grace and mercy that God even does for the wicked. And he is not thanked. He is not glorified in those things. But when we ask him in sincere prayer and believe, you see, it puts us in a place to receive a blessing, to receive a miracle. Prayer prepares us to receive from God. It says, I cannot do this on my own. Now, just four verses later in James chapter 4 there, it says in verse 6, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. How we need God's favor, that comes when we are humble. And you see, when we are sincere and going to God in prayer and saying, God, I need your help. God, I can't do this on my own. You see, that is humility before God. In fact, I think that to not pray is arrogant. To not pray is to assume that you don't really need God's help, or to just take for granted the goodness and the blessings of God. There's an awful lot that gets taken for granted. And how we need to pray, always pray. It prepares us to receive from God. We pray things like, Father, I ask you to help me find the right job. Here we are, the beginning of a new year. We say things like, Father, I ask you to help me to lose weight. Tried it on my own. Lord, I can't do this without you. Lord, I ask you to help me to lose weight. Lord, I ask you to help me to be more disciplined in my prayer life. Prayer prepares us to receive. Prayer prepares us for the Word of God. You know what? You should never approach God's Word lightly. You should never just read it at random with a carnal mind. Because I can tell you that there are many, many, many people in our world who read the Bible and yet do not receive its life-giving truth. In fact, they are deceived as they read the Scripture. And so often, the enemy of our soul perverts and twists the Word of God. He's a master of deception, and he knows how to use the Bible. He tried to use it against Jesus. And I'm just telling you that we should never approach the Holy Word of God without asking for God's help. The Holy Spirit is our teacher and guide. He is the one that guides us into truth, that shows us the truth of God's Word. In fact, I like this from 1 Corinthians 2:11. It says, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. See, there are a lot of people that study the Bible, and some of them, they put a lot of us to shame. They study the Bible for hours and hours and hours, but all they come away with is the bunch of arguments of men. No real life change. And I'm just telling you that when we approach the Scripture, prayer is what prepares us to be able to receive what God has for us. It's the Holy Spirit that is able to cause you to see things and understand things that you didn't before. And you know, it's amazing as we serve the Lord that over the years, there are things that we understand now that last year we didn't, or 10 years ago we didn't understand. And it's amazing how the Holy Spirit can show you something fresh and very real, and just what you need in a verse that you have read 100 times. But we need to never take that for granted and always pray and ask for his help. The psalmist expresses it well in Psalms 119 and verse 18. He says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Pray first. And then, when life-giving truth comes, then when you see, then you're not tempted to say, look at me, look at my knowledge. Instead, you say, the Lord showed me this. God revealed this to me. It's amazing how religious pride can just be the very worst kind. And you see, when we pray in humility, we ask for God's help, it keeps that away. God gets the glory. But always pray before you go to the Word. Bob mentioned the parable of the sower earlier in receiving the offering. And you know, the seed is the Word of God. And there are 4 types of hearts that the Word falls on. There are those that never accept it. I mean, they hear it, but they don't want it, and they've already rejected it. The second, receive it with joy, but then because they don't have any root, when difficult times come, when things get rough, the seed dies. The third is sown among thorns, and it gets choked out by other things. And the last was the good and noble heart that received the word and cherished it until it brought forth fruit in their lives. Now, should we just automatically assume and take for granted always that, hey, I'm good soil? Or maybe we should prepare our heart with prayer. Maybe there's some hard ground that needs to be broken up. I mean, listen, life happens and all of us can get an attitude. All of us can have some issues, but it's amazing how sincere prayer will expose those things. You know, maybe there's you've gotten some rocks in your soil. Maybe there's some other junk, some weeds that's growing up. But I believe if we'll pray that God can help us to be soil that's ready to cherish, to retain, and to bring forth a great harvest from the seed of the Word of God. Here we are at a new year. What will determine whether it is a good year or a bad year for us personally? Is it the government? Is the economy going to determine whether or not you have a good year? Is it just luck or fate? Is it just that God decides to bless this one and not that one? Or that God decides to bless 2017, but not 2016 or 2018. I hope your answer to all of those questions, those rhetorical questions, was no. Those options are kind of appealing sometimes because they take all the responsibility off of us. But much of our success or failure is determined by the choices that we make. Now you can even, listen, the choice to believe God or not. The choice to stand on the promise of God. But there are all kinds of choices we make that are going to determine what kind of year you have. I mentioned earlier, now listen, it's one of the most popular resolutions, you know. It's about losing weight and getting in shape. So here's the other side of that is the choice to exercise regularly. I'm just going to tell you that your success in that has a lot to do with your choices that you make. Where you are spiritually next year, at the end of this coming year, whether it is a successful year for you spiritually, we'll put it that way, it's going to be determined a lot by the choices that you make. Here's why that's so important. Listen, prayer prepares us to make the right choices. Pray. Usually when people make bad choices, they didn't pray about them sincerely. And I've already, you know, mentioned that we need to ask for God's help in doing the things that we're going to do. But we also need to pray about our intentions. Did you know that God has not promised to just bless your will and whatever you decide? No, it's when we do His will that He blesses. It's when we are in tune with Him. And listen, don't try to get God to do something He doesn't want to do. No, we pray before we make a decision. We don't make a bad choice or a wrong choice or a choice apart from the will of God and then say, God, please bless what I'm doing. No, we got to pray before we make those decisions, before you decide. Now think about this. Jesus, the Son of God, surely He was full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. Surely He could just make decisions without having to pray about it. But I know this, that He prayed all night before He chose the 12. Sometimes we look at those characters and we think, well, I should have prayed a little longer. But I'm just telling you, Jesus prayed all night before he chose the 12. How can we think that we don't need to spend time in prayer before we make decisions? Make a big purchase, you got to pray. It's a good deal. You need to pray. Listen, if you're single, you pray before you go out with someone. Oh, but they're really good looking and they go to church. I don't care. You pray. Prayer prepares you to make the right choice. I remember many years ago, Carmen and I served as youth pastors at Grace, and it was kind of all the rage at that point. People were doing small groups, and even in youth ministry, people were doing small groups. And so we were wanting to do small groups with our youth, but we didn't have enough leaders. And so we just picked out some spiritual people in the church, people who were, well, they were board members and Sunday school teachers. I mean, these were spiritual pillars of the church. And we said, yeah, we want you to help us. We had a big youth group, you know, and we divided them up into groups and didn't really pray about it much. And it was a disaster. And we had a lot of disunity and trouble and strife. And the end result of that is there were some kids that were lost, and they're probably not even in church today. You see, you got to pray. Good intentions don't always get the right choice. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, and the end is destruction. So how do you make the right choice? You pray. You ask for God to direct you. You ask for his will to be done. When I served as a pastor in a small town in Oklahoma, one day I was cleaning the church and a man came by and he introduced himself and he said, I believe that God has directed me to your church, that I'm supposed to come here and speak. And I said, well, I'll pray about that. And I kind of felt like in my spirit I already knew the answer, but I sincerely told him I would pray about it. And he said, well, you don't need to pray about it. God has already spoken to me. And I told him again, I said, I'll pray about it. And I did, and it wasn't a long time of seeking God. But here's what I want to say about that, though. You see, don't let somebody else tell you God's will, and I got a word, unless it bears witness with what you also prayed and believed that God impressed you with. You always, listen, what I'm saying to you is, even if somebody spiritual tells you, well, this is what you need to do, you need to pray about it before you make that decision. Some of you know the story about the young prophet and the old prophet, right? Well, I don't have time to go there tonight, but wow. You better hear from God. You better know what God told you. Prayer prepares you to make the right choice. Just because it's a better paying job, it doesn't mean it's God's will. If Samson would have really prayed, I don't think he would have ended up with Delilah. And what a different year he would have had. What a different life he would have had. What a different ending he would have had. I mean, God used him, but oh, how it was cut short because of bad choices that he made. And how can we say that Jesus is Lord if we don't pray about our decisions and allow him to be Lord? You know, one of the remarkable things about King David in the Bible, you know, we like to read the story of David and Goliath, you know, this great miracle that happened. But there are many, many times that God used David. And here's the interesting thing. David, this mighty man, this mighty warrior, had so many great victories. He did not assume that he was to go out and attack the enemy. But instead, he prayed. He asked God. I'm going to give you just a few examples of those. 1 Samuel 23, 1 and 2. They told David, saying, "Look, the Philistines are fighting against us, and they are robbing the threshing floors." And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" And the Lord said to David, "Go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah." 1 Samuel 30 and 8. David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them. Without fail, recover all." 2 Samuel 5:19. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand." Why should he pray about it if every time the Lord is just going to say, yeah? Because he is submitting himself to the Lord before he makes a decision. And that is something that we need to... Well, just because it was that way last time doesn't mean this time. You need to pray about it. And the one last one I want to give you is 2 Samuel 5, 22 through 25. The Philistines went up once again and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord and said, and he said, "You shall not go up. Circle around behind them and come up or come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. And when you hear the sound of the marching in the treetops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly, for then the Lord will go out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines." David did, and God did just what he said he would do. And you see, this time God gave him different instructions. And you know what? I see often that people assume that God's going to do it the way he did before, and they don't even pray. But here's the point. Before you make a decision, you turn your heart to the Lord in prayer and you say, "God, I want to do what you want me to do." We cannot just pray for what we want, but for God's will. That's always best. Listen, the Lord Jesus prayed, "Not my will, but your will be done." Prayer prepares us to make the right choices. Prayer prepares us for new things. A new year. You want to be ready for a new year? Get prayed up. I like to pray in the new year. Always. Better than any party. Spending that time on your knees, heart submitted to God, to just say, "God, I want your will this year. I want to do all that you have for me." Prayer prepares us for new endeavors, prepares us for new goals, prepares us for new projects. Before you start something, pray. Isaiah 43 and 19, the Lord says, "I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it?" How are you going to know what God wants to do? Pray. Never assume. Pray. We are always dependent upon him. And the evidence of that is that we pray. You see, if we know that we're supposed to do something, well, first of all, you got to pray to know what God wants you to do. But then if you know that's what God wants you to do, then you need to pray and ask God how to do it. And then you need to pray and ask God for the strength to get it done through the process. I'm just telling you, there should never be a time that we just vacate prayer, but we always pray. I want to remind you of the story of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is the one who rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. But Nehemiah was in a different land. He was a cupbearer to the king. And Nehemiah heard about how the walls were broken down, and he wept. Because, you know, we need to understand that in this culture and in this time, when the walls of a city were broken down, that left the city open to attack, to marauders and to thieves. And the people there could never have any peace. They could never prosper. It left the city in this state of poverty and turmoil and constant fear. And so when Nehemiah heard about the city, the walls being broken down, he wept. His heart was so moved. But the Bible tells us this in Nehemiah 1:4. So it was when he heard these words, he says, that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Now, I'm just going to tell you that right now, I want you to hear this. He prayed for 4 months. And then once he got there, it took 52 days to rebuild the walls. But he prayed. And I'm telling you, a lot of times we just jump right in and we don't finish the job because we failed because we didn't pray. We got to always start with prayer. Prayer is at the last resort. It's where we start. This is how you start a business. This is how you start dating. This is how you start a marriage. This is how you start raising children. This is how you start a ministry. This is how you start to reach a goal. Prayer is the key. If we haven't prayed, we're wasting time. Prayer gives us perspective. It gives us clearer vision. Gives us results when we pray. Nehemiah prayed 4 months before he took action. And then he completed what seemed like an impossible task in less than 2 months. His opponents didn't think it could be done at all. Now, he had lots of help. He didn't do it by himself. How do you get lots of help? Pray. He had lots of opposition. How do you deal with opposition? Pray. See, he prayed about whether, about what to do. And by the way, when Nehemiah went to the king and asked permission to go to Jerusalem, the king not only gave him permission to go, but he gave him all of the supplies that he would need to complete the job. It's amazing what God can do if we'll just pray. Well, I'm just believing God for a miracle. I want to tell you something. Sometimes God will tell you, cast the net on the other side of the boat. But if you're not praying, if you're not listening, you may miss it. God doesn't help those who help themselves. Oh, my mama told me that, preacher. You are lying. I'm telling you what the Bible says. He helps those who pray. I understand the principle that, listen, God doesn't help those who sit back and are lazy and won't do what they're supposed to do. And I agree 100% that we got to do what we're supposed to do. But let me tell you where that starts. Pray. He helps those who pray. Ask and you will receive. Well, that's what Jesus said. Nehemiah, the servant, the slave, the cupbearer to a Babylonian king, prayed, and God used him to rebuild the walls of the city, and all of the people were blessed because Nehemiah prayed. That's where it all started. So if you're going to do anything, you're going to start something new this year, whatever it might be, pray. That's how you start something. That's how you do something new. And last, prayer prepares the way for ministry. Many times Jesus pulled away from the crowds. Listen, he pulled away from the needs. I mean, there were people that needed to be ministered to, but Jesus pulled away so that he could pray. And how is it that any of us think we can do anything without praying? Jesus tells us just straight up in John 15, where he's talking about being fruitful, he says, apart from me, you can't do anything. And that means that if there's an area where we think that we're strong, like, you know, I'm good at this, I can do this, I'm talented in this area, I have this ability, I got this, you better really pray. Because until you get you out of the way, nothing eternal is going to happen. I knew a man one time who was a great worship leader. And he truly was a great man of God, a great worship leader. But he had the skill set in leading worship. He said, I can manipulate a congregation. I can move them into a frenzy emotionally. Now, he wasn't saying that that's the way to do it. He was saying that's not the way to do it. He was saying, I have the gifting. I can stir up a congregation. I can move them into that. But listen, you see, if we do anything apart from the Holy Spirit work in our lives and through our lives, it just makes a mess. I'm going to tell you the truth. You can't even witness right without praying about it. I've seen so many people who were hardened against the gospel because some Christian tried to witness to them and said a bunch of junk in the wrong spirit and just messed that person up. Pray. You got to pray before you do anything in ministry, before you sing, before you witness, before you talk to somebody in counseling, whatever it is that you're going to do, you got to pray and ask for God's help. It prepares us. Always battles in ministry. Things that God wants us to do that will not happen without prayer. It prepares us for those battles. In Matthew chapter 17, you don't have to turn there, but there's a story where a man had a son who was an epileptic, and he would fall into the fire, into the water, and he tells Jesus, he says, I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. And Jesus says, faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? And then in verse 19, the disciples, Jesus cast out the devil and the boy was cured. But then in verse 19, Jesus' disciples come to him and they say, why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus says this very plainly, and don't forget this statement. He says, because of your unbelief. So everybody answer this question. Why couldn't the disciples cast out the devil? Because of their unbelief. That's right. Don't lose that. Jesus said it very plainly. They said, why couldn't we cast him out? Jesus says, because of your unbelief. Then in verse 21, Jesus says, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, Jesus was not saying that, well, this is really the answer. I told you guys it was unbelief, but now let me give you the real answer. No, he is explaining, listen, you see, fasting and prayer is not how we twist the arm of God. It is not how we manage to, you know, if we fast long enough and pray hard enough, then we'll manipulate God. We'll finally get God to do what we want. No. Fasting and prayer subdues the flesh. Fasting and prayer gets you out of the way so that you can believe God. Jesus was prayed up. Now, he had been fasting and prayer, and when this situation arose, he was ready to deal with it. The disciples weren't. And I'm just telling you that fasting and prayer, well, I threw in that fasting just like nothing happened there. Did y'all catch that? It needs to be part of our prayer life sometimes. Your flesh will hate you But I'm telling you, getting that flesh under subjection and getting your old self out of the way where you are tuned in with God and you, when you're praying and believing God, I'm telling you, it prepares you for those kinds of battles that otherwise you just wouldn't be ready for. Fasting and prayer. We got to pray first. Matthew 12, 29, Jesus said, "How can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he binds the strong man and he will plunder his house?" You see, we're destroying the works of the devil. And whatever we do, we need to bind the strong man first. We need to pray first so that those strongholds are torn down, so that when we minister, when we speak to somebody, that the enemy doesn't have a hold on them to keep them from receiving. You see, it prepares us to minister, but it also prepares that other person. It prepares that situation for us to step in and do what God wants us to do. We're co-laborers with God. And listen, if you're going to be a co-laborer with God, here's how you get to work with God. You pray. See, when we leave prayer out of the equation, there's a whole lot of assuming going on. No, we pray. Then we do our part in the natural. We do what God shows us to do. We plant, we water, and God does the supernatural. Even if you're doing something that you've been called to do, you should pray and always ask for God's help. I've learned over and over, whether I teach, preach, sing, counsel, witness, lead, organize, administrate, console, I'm a failure without prayer. We got to always remember, apart from Him, I could do nothing. Prayer prepares. Are you ready for a new year? Are you ready for what God wants to do? Are you ready for the battles that are going to be ahead? If you want this year to be a cakewalk, I've got news for you. Great victories don't come from a cakewalk. No, sometimes there's going to be battles along the way, but we'll come out victorious if we pray. I want you to stand with me. We're going to close this service with just a couple of minutes of prayer. Let's just pray together. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this year that is before us. Oh, Father, Lord, I pray that it would not be a year of our design, a year of our own selfish desire, but it would truly be a year of pursuing after the things of God like never before. Father, that it would truly be a year that we see many, many lives changed. Lord, that we see miracles happen and that you are glorified. Oh, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that this would truly be a great year of the manifest presence of God and the glory of God being upon your people. Lord, as we, as a praying people, seek your face and seek your will, seek your kingdom and your righteousness. Oh, Father, that you have your way. How wonderful that will be. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I pray the Holy Spirit would take this seed of the Word of God, that it bring forth a great harvest in us this year. That prayer prepares. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Lord bless you. If you need special prayer, I or other prayer partners would be glad to pray with you.